This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Dr. Michael Masters says to us, he's about to start something which will consume more than 40 seconds to explain. Go ahead, please.
So, the question, as I remember it, is kind of, when I started this research, what was the big picture, what did it all mean, or what was I trying to understand, or
yeah,
what did I think I would get?
Or more like, as you sort of completed it and got the book done, you know, you're going to discover it's going to all come together, and there's going to be some kind of, it's got to suggest something about a bigger picture, because there's all these little pieces that were, you know, so what do you think we're dealing with here?
Well, it's funny you asked that, because I guess that was kind of the point of the book, is to paint that picture, is to provide a modern understanding. And like I've said many times before, and probably a couple of times tonight, I don't claim to have all of the answers. I don't claim to know everything about this phenomenon. What I'm trying to do is twofold. I'm trying to put one piece in the puzzle. If it fits, it fits. If not, it'll be discarded or burned in a trash can, or maybe it'll fit later. I don't know. And the other is to just sort of open up dialogue about this. I got an email today. I've been getting at least once a week people that have had experiences that reach out to me and say, you know, other than my husband or my children, that nobody else knows about this. I don't talk, but I heard you on this, and I want to tell you about this. And it's extremely relevant to this research. And I think so much more can be known by just talking and having a conversation. But we need to break down this taboo and the stigma that surrounds the UFO phenomenon. And one part of the book, is part of this bigger picture, was just to open up a narrative, to open up a discussion, and to have dialogue about these things, that these real things that are happening to people. And it's so great that the people that control the narrative around this, the U.S. government, are starting to say, yeah, this is a real thing. We're allowing our pilots to talk about this. We're briefing senators on this. This is a real phenomenon, which people that listen to your podcast have known for years. But why aren't we talking about it? What can we learn by moving past the stigma that keeps us from having an open discussion about it? So beyond that, what I try to do is just paint a picture of what we know about the phenomenon. How do we see the things that have happened both in the prehistoric past, the historic past, and now in modern times? How do we understand those things in the context of this phenomenon today? And then also tie in the extraterrestrial model. What do we know about that? And again, it's not a straw man fallacy. I'm not trying to just beat it down, but in the context of this model, show how there's many limitations associated with that. To be fair, I also talk about the limitations of the extratempestrial model, the time travel model, and some of the things that we've discussed tonight have come up in the book as well. But one thing, And you've mentioned this a couple of times now, is that one of the most fun parts about writing the book was getting into this bigger picture thing. And that's why I'm glad you asked this question, because the last two chapters really focus on what this would all mean, or what are the implications of these sorts of cross-temporal relationships? Why would they be doing this? What's the outcome of this? What could happen as a result of this? What might our future look like in their future? And it's the same past under this model. So what is our collective future past going to look like, especially after we have disclosure? So I think those, like, trying to bring together the evidence for this, but then to really get into what does this all mean? What could it show us? What could we learn from this if we really just focused on it and talked about it?
What are some of the examples that you'd like to, or the most important examples, or the ones with the most consequence for us?
Well, I think I talk about time tourism a little bit, and as far as the question of why they're here and what they're doing. And I've seen a couple people write recently that if we are in a post-disclosure process, it's no longer about if these are real, but who are they and what are they doing? And that's actually what I wrote the book about. So I'm very happy to see that. But I talk about time tourism a little bit and how it's not just potentially a way for people to see the past, but it could be a driver of this technology in the same way that you have all of these private enterprises, like Amazon and Virgin Airlines, racing to get people into space because they can charge a buttload of money to take people into space. You could charge even more money to take somebody back to their favorite time period to see something happen that they really love, a part of history or prehistory that they really love. And I also draw a distinction between these abduction cases where it does seem to be research, biomedical research, and examining our evolutionary past and human culture and biology versus those so many pictures you see of just the craft hanging out along the edge of some clouds and those types of situations of the Foo Fighters during World War II. If that reigns supreme is a very interesting war in human history, because we do have the sadistic love of warfare, unfortunately. If that continues, we would expect to see tourists during those time periods around monuments. And even today, tourism to different places, the different historic and prehistoric sites is the biggest grosser, the biggest moneymaker across the whole tourism industry. Machu Picchu, Karahong, Stonehenge, the Great Pyramids. So if that fascination with our own past continued, you would expect to see tourism as some part of that. And it's something that Stephen Hawking used to talk about. Another physicist who I have great respect for, Paul Davies, talked about a lot in some of his books. So that was one of those things, like the big picture thing. What are the implications? What are we doing? Why are we doing it? And I think that's potentially at least one aspect of it.
That's really interesting. When you said, like, well, hey, you know, you could maybe take someone back in time and time tourism and they could have an experience there. And then that experience, if they'd never gone back to that particular time before, and of course this gets into the whole thing of the dynamics again of the changing system, but let's just, setting that all aside, what might happen then is that the people who are there are going to have a slightly different experience than they had before. And maybe that might lead to something like this Mandela effect thing that we've been hearing about. You know what I'm talking about there?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's essentially the same thing we were talking about earlier with different timelines, different things that can take place, especially if you went to your own past. And I talk about this in the book too, in the context of what happens if you time travel and the mechanisms, the philosophy behind it, that if you visit yourself in the past, if you have a memory as a small child of meeting yourself as an older person, physicists know without a doubt that once you get to be that person at that age in your future, you will go back in time and meet yourself in the past, just again because of the self-consistency that these things are linked across different periods in space-time. So I tend to adhere to the view of Nabokov and Kip Thorne and Klinkhammer and David Deutsch even, that these things are self-consistent, that you're not really causing some sort of change that takes place, but time will tell, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think that's consistent, but still,
consistent doesn't change. With what?
Well, consistent. You say, well, there's a change taking place, but there's not a change taking place.
Well, I didn't say right, like, change took if, place, though.
Right. Well, if the system is such that a person doesn't have the experience of a time traveler suddenly appearing in front of them, but then they have a memory that suddenly they did.
Oh, no. You misunderstood right? What I was saying.
You misunderstood what I was saying.
Let me clarify that.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we clarify that in our next segment? Leave a cliffhanger for the benefit of our listeners as you're trying to sort out time travel, identify flying saucers, and more. with Gene, Michael, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, you probably now realize it wasn't a good idea, and the financial strain it's putting on you and your family has you stressed, and you probably think there's no way out. This is Steve Sanchez, and you know I've been an advocate for hardworking Americans just like you for 27 years, and there's a way out of this financial nightmare, and my friends at Wesley Financial, the leading timeshare cancellations company in the country, can help you cancel your timeshare guaranteed. Being lied to, misled, and pressured into buying a timeshare doesn't have to be your story. But freedom of being out of it can be. I have a special free information kit that will give you the step-by-step process that Wesley Financial uses to get you out of your timeshare guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100. That's 1-800-501-6100 or visit stevesanchez.info. You don't have to have the financial nightmare of a timeshare any longer. Wesley Financial can help you get out guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I wish to assure you that when J. Randall Murphy does the Paracast with the Echo, he is not delivering us a voice from different time streams. You were going to correct something, Michael. What was that about?
Yeah, in our previous conversation before the break, I wasn't saying that that individual as a child suddenly has a memory that wasn't there. They meet themselves from the future And, and all I was saying is the consensus among physicists is that once they get to be that old, if you met yourself at age 35 when you were 5, there's nothing that changed. It's all still self-consistent.
Right. That's there what wasn't, I was talking about, though. I was like talking about more like time tourism, right? Where say you've got a whole bunch of people and they want to go back in time to some other time that they've, you know, experienced. You know, hypothetically, they could go back and stand at a stadium and at a concert right next to themselves.
That would be so fun. I would love to party with myself.
I mean, yeah, that would be really cool.
Oh my God, that'd be awesome.
But that would be a change from the overall timeline because there's a period where to get from the time where the person was standing alone to way in the future where they come back, that never happened.
It did though. Why? I don't understand why you say that.
Because it's only at some point in the future that they decide to go back.
But they have always gone back, and the proof is that they were there in the first place.
But they always gone back. That's the inconsistency.
It's not
saying there is and isn't something.
If they were partying next to you at a Pearl Jam concert, you bought yourself a beer from the future, there's consistency there because we know with absolute certainty that once you're that age in the future, you come back and have a beer with your former self at a Pearl Jam concert. There's nothing inconsistent about that at all.
I guess maybe you just aren't seeing it from the same perspective as I am. I'm not sure how we could get through that. Okay, say let's say some of the videos I've seen where they try to explain this, you'll see sort of a great big picture of the expanding universe and way into the past and way into the future, and that you could slice it up like a slice of bread. Well, at this particular slice in time, there is no person standing next to them at that concert.
Right, so they never came back.
So you have to go forwards in all these slices until that technology is developed in order, because this is a dynamic thing. It's not a pre-existing static block. Time evolves until you get to the point where you can go back in time.
But if you weren't there in the past, you never did.
Well, if you're there now, right, if we're here now, then there's still an evolution that has to take place into the future before you can get to the time travel to be able to come back, right? So the assumption that it's just a big block that exists and it has already taken place in the future, that doesn't really work.
Are you one of the people that hates when people say that free will doesn't exist? Because I kind of feel I'm hearing the same things that I hear from these people. When I say free will is an illusion, they're like, no, I hate you. It's all stupid.
No.
We have these different timelines and everything can change.
Oh, I think it's really interesting. And actually, I'm probably one of the people who would tend to agree that most of life is beyond our control in terms of what we commonly think of as free will as being a conscious decision to make a choice. Because most of our choices, and we know this from biology and neuroscience, take place at very small levels within our nervous system and our brain before we ever become aware of them. So if we never become aware of the choices we're making before they're made, how can we say we made a choice?
And I talk about that research a lot in my book too. It's fascinating to me, and it comes back to consciousness. And yeah, there's a whole big section about the different experiments with pricking fingers and even light bouncing off something and how we register it is behind the actual event. We impose this string of events on something that had already happened. And yeah, I think that neuroscience aspect of it's also important to consider with regard to free will. Because if it's happening, if we perceive it, if we understand it after it's already happened, how can you say that we're controlling anything?
Exactly. And this is a friendly discussion between two people who have thought a lot about the subject. And I am so, you know, really honored to be able to discuss this with you. And that's the spirit in which I take it, because I absolutely love this stuff. And
yeah, me too. It's fun to argue about too. I feel like people get deeper into things when they come at it from different viewpoints and respectfully have a discussion or a debate, even. I guess you could call it a debate, because and it benefits the listener too, to be able to hear the different perspectives and the back and forth that you get through hashing it out. So I absolutely appreciate this type of dialogue as well.
That is cool, because not everybody in the world does, but I thank you very much for that.
Yeah, likewise.
So where were we then again?
We were agreeing on things. That's what happened. That's why we got lost, as we started agreeing and then we totally lost our place.
You've made a big mistake, Randall, agreeing with anybody. You know, we're going to get a reputation here.
We have to start the show over from scratch.
Well, it's deep stuff. It's not easy. For anyone who thinks it's just easy to try and comprehend this stuff. I mean, I'm certainly not saying I've got all the answers.
No.
But I do, you know, I do love the conversation.
Yeah, me too. It's been fun. Like, I'm coming up on 30 interviews in the last 8 months, and just traveling around, having discussions with small groups and big groups. And then I'll be at the MUFON 50th anniversary, giving a talk there next month in the International UFO Congress in Phoenix in September. And so having these conversations with big and small crowds, intimate experiences like this on radio and podcasts, has been really fun.
And, you know, I think the world needs more of it, because if people would spend more time thinking about some of the bigger picture questions, then maybe we could let go of some of our petty differences in the world.
Absolutely.
Just out of curiosity, when we were talking Mandela Effect now and experiences, have you had any experiences? Do you remember Mandela dying in jail, or have you talked to other people with different perceptions of the time from their perspective?
That's an interesting question. I gave a talk in Livingston, Montana, and this individual who is very prolific in all things ufology, he's been studying it for a very long time, sent me an interesting conversation that was supposedly among a time traveler and people in this forum, I guess. And it was interesting. I mean, he was wrong about some things that were predicted, but he claimed in this that there was some sort of timeline jump at certain points. He tended to adhere to that model, so you'd very much appreciate that. You know, it didn't seem completely real, but the things that were said by this time traveler also seemed to be pretty well thought out. So it's either somebody that was really high that thinks about this stuff a lot, who was messing with some people in a forum.
I think that was probably the case.
Well, you know, that happens a lot. I imagine a lot of people in these forums are very, very high. And it's legal in many places now, so that's okay. But I think that there have been people that have told me things, really interesting things, that they truly believe, and I believe them. I believe that these things happen. But no, not once have I heard from one of these people that there was some sort of thing that was different. A lot of these people, the experiencers, also have telepathic abilities. They're able to see things before they happen. And that in itself indicates that there's something that's going to happen that's somewhat predetermined. It does seem to back up this idea of one history, one future.
Michael, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockheed Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockheedPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockheedPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockheedPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Unexpected history made by President Trump as he becomes the first sitting U.S. president to ever set foot in North Korea.
The president meeting North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in the demilitarized zone between South and North Korea hours ago, but after the leaders shook hands on the South Korean side, the president joined Kim in a walk across the border into North Korea.
It was an honor that you asked me to step over that line, and I was proud to step over the line. I thought you might do that. I wasn't sure, but I was ready to do it, and I want to thank you. It's been great.
President Trump also saying he's eager to have the North Korean leader visit the White House. Former Vice President Joe Biden's lead in the Democratic presidential race losing some steam. A morning consult poll finds his support dropped from about 41% to 31% after Thursday's debate performance. And this is USA Radio News.
Between the unbeatable performance and lower operating costs, electric cars are going places like never before. In fact, a survey by Drive Change Drive Electric tells us that 8 out of 10 Northeasterners agree electric is the future of automobiles. Travel expert Zach Houghton.
The vast majority of Northeast drivers, about 3 in 4, believe it's important to move towards electric cars, and 88% also want to reduce their vehicle emissions. So while drivers are interested in these cars, the problem is that most of them don't understand how and where to charge or even realize that charging stations are available to them.
Houghton told us a new campaign called Destination Electric hopes to change all that by celebrating businesses that support driving electric in communities across the Northeast.
Destination Electric businesses all have a storefront decal to alert visitors that charging is nearby. So far, over 100 local businesses have joined Destination Electric to demonstrate their support for electric cars and to let their customers know that they could be charging while they visit.
Visit Drive Electric US to learn more.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I thought I heard thunder in the background there. Somebody, one of you guys has got a storm going on.
Yeah.
Besides me here.
I'm going to go stick my microphone out the window because it's like right overhead. You can see lightning strikes.
Where are you exactly?
I'm in Butte, Montana. And we get some pretty crazy storms here because the mountains are like right in the Rocky Mountains. We're at 6,000 feet and the peaks go up to about 12,000 and it really messes with the weather here.
Sounds like beautiful country though.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's amazing.
So where would you like to take the conversation now?
You know, I wanted to take something here, just throw out flies in the ointment because that's our style here on the Paracast. Say things you didn't expect to say. Okay, so we're assuming all this is a time thing. They're coming here from the future to see what's going on. What about the legends or stories about a breakaway civilization? There's another civilization coexisting with ours that, you know, we don't necessarily communicate with. What if they're sending advanced craft rather than visitors in the future?
Yeah, I've heard that quite a few times. It does get brought up a lot, and it's important, I think, because there is somewhat of a disconnect, unfortunately, between scientists, and especially in studying our hominin past and archaeology and our data and our scientific papers involving how we understand our anatomical changes and our cultural changes. And that's unfortunate, and it's a problem with science and scientific writing in general. But I think if people had a better understanding of the evolutionary history of life on this planet and humans on this planet, and especially once we started making stone tools about 3.3 million years ago, our computers, our cell phones, everything we have today is the result of an evolutionary process that started with those stone tools. Once we started to modify things around us for specific purposes, it set in motion this long history of progress to make more complex things. But within that history, there was never a point where we could have had the complexity we have today. And we can see this very clearly in the archaeological record and looking at that history, going back to the first stone tools, the advent of fire 1.8 million years ago, the advent of agriculture 10,000 years ago. There's just no point when any organism on our planet, and especially in the process of us becoming complex hominins, where we could have just butted off and started another civilization somewhere, and especially on a different planet, we would see evidence of that. Once we start building large structures and cities, those things preserve very, very clearly in the archaeological record.
Yeah, I have to completely agree with you there that makes perfect sense. And the same, I've actually used the same rationale with some of the proponents of the breakaway civilization theory.
Excuse me, I'm hearing the sound of paper movement.
No, that is hail.
Hail. Wait a minute.
Live hailstorm.
The gods are angry with our discussion tonight.
Use a proper voice. The gods are angry. The gods are smiting us.
No, I've got a great view out my window of what they call the Hemp. It's an old volcano. It's a butte, what butte's named after. And there's this amazing hailstorm and lightning crashing and thunder. I wish this was a video stream right now. I'd love for you guys to see this. You can edit that out if you have to.
I kind of think it's cool to kind of add it into the show. Just it's some ambience.
Yeah, a little white noise.
I don't think we've ever had anybody on a hailstorm.
We get them a lot out here in the early summer. Like everybody's car has giant dents in them. It's just a fact of life out here.
Well, you know, body shops certainly very busy from that. You know, speaking of dents, we don't have hail that much back in New Jersey, but I used to park my car at the train station taking the New Jersey Transit to New York City. And those cars that I had built up dozens and dozens of dings because people were pigs, I guess.
Yeah,
it wasn't hail.
Yeah, people probably ding up cars more than hail does. Hail's probably a close second, though.
That's why we have Dent Wizard. Let's go on with looking at the paranormal and the weird stuff. Now, I also have a wild idea, which is just as crazy. We talk about the legends of advanced civilizations thousands of years ago, Atlantis, etc. What if we had an advanced civilization then, and they traveled to the future?
Yeah. We'd still see evidence of that, though, I think. I don't know how... Atlantis is just a myth. That's
well,
not actually
the thing
real
is,
thing.
Though, can we really know that we have evidence of time travel? We're just speculating here. How do we prove it?
Well, again, I'd like to differentiate speculation from current knowledge and trends in our knowledge, because it's not just speculation. It is actually rooted in a deep understanding of physics and our understanding of time currently. But it comes down to something that Stephen Hawking always got hung up on. He actually had serious debates with his colleagues who were more open to the idea that time travel exists and there's consistency. Hawking tended to adhere to something known as the chronology protection conjecture, where we need to protect the past because he saw it more as these alternate timelines and things like that. But the thing he did, which kind of pissed a lot of people off, myself included, he was a brilliant, brilliant man. He suffered through very difficult times, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease is a horrible disease, and he still persevered and is someone that I have great respect for. But I do kind of find it paradoxical that he was so dismissive of backward time travel, simply because he advocated for human engineering and our abilities to conquer great problems, but still just hated this idea that we would ever travel backward in time. And this is what he always said, is that if we do have the capability to travel back in time at some point in the future, we would expect to see some evidence of that. And then I make the argument that we are, that the UFO phenomenon is that we are seeing evidence of it, and that we will at some point have the ability to achieve backward time travel. So yeah, it's all part of that same broader question, I guess.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting that you are taking the approach that you are, because you're not just off the cuff going, well, okay, let's do a time travel thing and approach it from the point of view of just someone who's seen a lot of sci-fi movies. Like you say on your website, coupled with a thorough understanding of the past and modern human condition, these accounts point to the continuation of established biological and cultural trends here on Earth long into the distant future. There's a pattern here. And like they say in investing, don't buck the trend. It means something. So, however it's taking place, whatever model we're looking at, we know there is a trend. There's no doubt about it. And there are these experiences that people are having. Because as skeptical as I am, I'm a believer that people are having real genuine experiences with craft, seeing craft that just, they're not from around here. Or at least not from our current temporal, if we want to include that as a condition, environment.
Yeah.
We've got one more segment, folks. And then we have to send on our guest on his way with his time machine.
I rode my motorcycle today, unfortunately, and it's hailing and lightning all around me, so I can talk for as long as you guys want to.
We got more to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state, until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
From time and space, engage. I wouldn't want to ride a motorcycle under any circumstances. And you know, I'm really a Luddite here when it comes to motorcycles. Folks, this is a true admission. I know that everybody's asked about this, nobody. I've been on a motorcycle exactly twice. I wore a helmet. A friend named Larry, many, many years ago, took me on a trip back and forth across the Brooklyn Bridge between Brooklyn and Manhattan at really, really unusually fast speeds. But I never felt tempted to get one of those things myself. So there.
Well, mine's a little different. It's a mountain bike motorcycle. It's got a big fat tire on it. I can take it up elk hunting in the woods and stuff. But yeah, I agree with you. I would never want to just go fast down a highway. That freaks me out.
I kind of like having a roof over my head. So, you know, I can listen to music and just cruise along and be free of the hail. But I can kind of see the allure of a motorcycle. I used to have a trail bike when I was a kid living out in BC, and that was a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, same thing. Just don't have to pedal as hard. Or was the trail bike the Honda 90? Is that what you mean? Like it had a motor in it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It had a motor in it. It was just a little one. It had these big sort of nubbly tires on it.
Yeah.
If you wanted to go up a hill, you had to get it going really fast.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I guess when I say motorcycle, I'm describing something basic.
So, but I mean, just before the break, we got talking about some of these patterns, right? And so it does kind of add up. I can see how you could think that there is a direction and an overall pattern to the sightings and the experiences that people have that point to some sort of an interest in our evolution, and possibly theirs too. And evolution, of course, being time and of them seeming to be so closely related to us. It's certainly not as far out there as some of the other theories, like transports from hell or whatever, you know?
Yeah. No, and you mentioned the idea in stocks and bonds and investing in general, don't buck the trend. But the SEC also says past trends are not necessarily indicative of future outcomes, or I'm paraphrasing here. And that's another thing I tried to avoid in this book, was to say that this is going to happen because this is what has happened in the past. Or like I said at the start of the show, I didn't want to pretend like I knew where we would live in the future and what might happen if we lived there on Mars or in a space shuttle or space station or whatever. So I'm cognizant of that. But we also can't ignore these trends at the same time. If our brains have been getting bigger and importantly rounder, and our faces have been getting smaller throughout the entire history of human evolution, regardless of what environment we lived in, even after we migrated out of Africa and had new environments and predator-prey relationships, our brains still grew larger and our faces still grew smaller. And if that continues, we are likely to see these same sorts of traits and what are generally referred to as the grays or these humanoid type aliens. So there's the culture aspect, there's the technology, there's the evolutionary anatomy aspects. And like you said, it's all just based on very long standing trends in hominin evolution.
But no spaceships.
No, they are spaceships. They are spaceships.
Well, I'm thinking of spaceships in the sense of E.T. out there. Another
time
ship of the star system coming here to say hi.
Maybe. Like I said, it's possible. This is not a mutually exclusive model. It doesn't have to be the extraterrestrial hypothesis or the extraterrestrial hypothesis. There can still be the possibility of extraterrestrial life. I just don't feel like, and this is my scientific opinion, that it would look anything like us.
Oh, well, that's an interesting question. You know, some scientists say the same thing. Others have the opposite opinion in terms of thinking of, and you seem to have some education in this. So one of the things that, you know, I've run across on the pro side, they say, well, chances are they might look a lot like us because of the way that the senses and our nervous systems are created. If you've got a nervous system and a sensory apparatus, the shortest distance from the sensors to the processing mechanism is a natural evolutionary trait. It seems mm-hmm. like in a lot of species. So we would
Absolutely.
See a species with a, if they have a brain at all.
And, they would. I think they would have a brain.
You know, if we can assume that much, then we'd probably assume that their eyes are probably connected to that fairly closely,
yep.
along with their ears, which would imply a head. And then a head has to sit on a neck. And then you need something to manipulate your environment. So then you're dealing with arms.
Mm.
Right? So, you know, it does sort of kind of logically
you
fit
started,
together.
You started in a good place there. You're right. There would be some ability to sense things. And that's the basic function of a brain that's completely ubiquitous throughout the animal kingdom. Eyes have actually evolved 13 different times independently on this planet. I actually study eyes and the visual system as part of my non-UFO research. How I got tenure and promotion was publishing those types of things. But once you get beyond that, now you're kind of, you're right, like having limbs to support yourself, that's important.
Talk about an octopus or something.
Yeah, exactly. Depending on the gravity and how strong or weak it is. But vibrational sensitivity is another big one. And when you said ears, and after that is where it started to get a little contentious, because there's going to be vibrational sensitivity. You need to know when something's trying to eat you or if you're trying to eat it, where it is. But at the same time, we have that on our planet. Elephants communicate with infrasound. It's below our range of hearing. The tarsier, a primate relative, communicates with ultrasound. It's above our range of hearing.
The whales.
I mentioned the demon African mole rat. It just bangs its head on its tunnel and communicates vibrationally that way. But it doesn't have ears in the same sense that we do. And we can't communicate with any non-hominoid species on this planet. We can't just sit down and have a conversation with a dolphin or a turtle. So if something was evolving, even if it had ears on a different planet or some vocalization capabilities, the fact that we can't talk to a horse or a cow or sheep here, or we can't even communicate verbally with a chimpanzee, our closest living relative, indicates that we can't just assume that that's a given on any other planet, even if those things did evolve independently on them.
Then again, you know, chimpanzees, elephants, dolphins, you know, pretty much most of the mammals all still have, you know, a head with ears and two eyes and their sensory perceptions. And of course, a head is attached to a neck. And
it is.
In the case of dolphins.
But that's not what people are describing in these close encounters. They're not describing a dolphin-like thing or an elephant-like thing. They're describing a hominin, a human-like form.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
So it looks like here that Dr. Masters is going to join us for the After the Paracast podcast. But the key here is you've got to join. I'll tell you that later how to do it. Michael, tell our listeners if they want to know more about what you do, where do they go?
Well, they go to Montana Tech and I guess sit in my class and listen to me talk about aliens and stuff. I'm kidding, obviously. The book covers all of the things we talked about tonight and more. And it's available as a paperback, an ebook, an audiobook on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Apple Books, Google Books, Audible, and iTunes, and all of those can be found through my website, which I've recently learned is a terrible HTML. It's just a shortened version of the book, idflyobj.com, idflyobj.com. I'll probably be replacing it with something better later. But
we'll have a link to it, by the way.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we'll make it easy for everybody to remember it. You can find us on Twitter. If you look for the Paracast, look for two Paracast fan clubs. One's a group, one's a community. On Facebook, we also have, as we mentioned before, the After the Paracast podcast, which this week will feature more discussion with Dr. Michael Masters. In order to be able to download that show, you've got to join the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. And we also offer a version of the show free of the network ads. 41 minutes of network ads sliced away, kaput, diced and sliced. Better quality audio. Prices start just $1.49 a week, which is less than coffee at most convenience stores nowadays. I mean, how can you lose? Plus.theparacast.com. Dr. Michael Masters, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you. It's been a ton of fun. Thanks for having me on.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.